we went through the Korean problem, and you've gone through the missile crisis, and you've gone through the crisis in Vienna and other things, and that you've found all of it, that you can't be narrow and look at it just from the State Department diplomat viewpoint. You've got to evaluate what the military men like Westmoreland say.
Right.
And you've also got to evaluate what the Fulbrights say. And then you've got to take a balanced view, consider them all, and do what's best for the country.
Right.
Now, you don't know anybody that's in a better position to do that than the people have selected the Commander-in-Chief to do it. And while he may make mistakes, you don't claim it's perfection, don't want to, nevertheless, he does have the best information and the broadest possible viewpoint. Don't you think that's a good point?
I think I can bring that out. I think very well. I have only a limited amount of time, but I'll try to get some of these things pretty hard. And I'll stay away from if they raise this question about whether McNamara's statement yesterday was politically inspired for the election, I would say no, that you're in your budget cycle, that you've been away for 17 days, that when you got back, you wanted to talk over all these things with McNamara, and you had a budget session with him, and some of these things were developed in connection with the budget discussion, and you thought when the questions were asked that you ought to tell the country what you had in mind.
Well, I think I'd just say that that the president sent McNamara, he's told a dozen press conferences, that he was going to try to decide whether we have a supplemental or not, whether we have a tax bill or not. And he sent McNamara to Vietnam to spend a week out there to get all the information he could from Westmoreland, all the leaders and everything else, on how many men they're going to need, how much equipment they're going to need, everything else. This is the first chance McNamara had to report. The president just got back. He made a very brief report with you and Comer the other day. This is the first chance he had to get, and he was just giving the best estimates he could on a very few of them. He'll be giving them every day now from now till January the 1st.
Right.
But he went out, spent a week out there to get this information, talk to Westmoreland and all the military leaders, try to see what's going to happen. And as a matter of fact, he knows that he's going to require more in some respects and less in others. And he knows that the manpower needs for this coming year are not going to be anything like they were for last year.
Right.
Okay. And they shouldn't keep that secret when they ask it.
No. No.
And we shouldn't. We just can't suspend the government because the Republicans won't change some Congress. The government's got to go on. And tomorrow morning, we're going to have Comer down, going to have Goldberg down. Let me ask you this.
Right.
Why shouldn't I send Goldberg out to Vietnam? Let him go and see Lodge. Let him go see Westmoreland. Kind of sober him up a little. And let him be first-hand informant. And I don't see it can do any harm. And might do some good.
My only problem about that at the moment is that he's terribly important right now in the General Assembly. Got some big questions up still up there, including what I know you want to talk to about this Chinese representation question. By the end of the month, I think he could get out there. But I would hope that he would not be taken away from the General Assembly in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
When do they have a recess, sir?
Well, they'll probably recess about the 17th or 18th of December. They usually do along in there. But I think that by the 1st of December, most of the major questions will be out of the way, such as the Chinese representation and the trade treaty and things of that sort.
What do you think is going to happen on the Chinese thing? Do you think you can bring Canada around?
Well, I think that's that if Italy and Belgium and Canada and the others will vote against the Albanian resolution, which is the resolution to throw out Somoza and seat Peking, we'll get a good solid defeat of that. And then if they want, in exchange for that, to put in a resolution to set up a study committee, I wouldn't object to that because the study committee is a way to complicate this thing for a year or two, or keep it juggling, and I'd be more interested in getting their votes against this present resolution.
Do you think you can get them to do that on the study thing?
Oh, I think so. I think they were, well, we couldn't support anything. We couldn't go along with any idea of a study committee unless they vote against this existing resolution. And I think we can get them to do that.
So you think it is feasible?
Yes, I think so, but I think you better...
manageable.
You better question Arthur very, very hard on that, because he's the fellow that's been up there counting the votes.
And what's he, is this is his proposition?
If we don't have a study committee, that we could run the risk of losing this thing by two or three votes, or winning it by two or three. It's very hard to pin some of these representatives down, because quite a few of those ambassadors up there don't vote on the basis of instructions from their governments. They almost never get any instructions from their governments. And so it's awfully hard to pin them down and know exactly where you stand when the voting is closed.
Right. Now, what else do you have in the other things in mind?
I did talk to my fellows today about why we should not go ahead and have a normal diplomatic representations with Hungary and Bulgaria. We now have a charge in one place and a minister in the other. It's the only place, I think, where we have a minister. And just to put in the regular ambassadors there, that's another one of those bridge-building things, but we could do that course this next week. I don't think I would advise trying to do it Monday or Tuesday, because we need to check it out with them, and I'll send you down a little piece of paper and you have a look at it.
I hope you can do that.
Right.
I just hope you...
Well, I hope you're getting some rest, Mr. President.
I will. Now, what time are you on that morning?
8:15 our time.
8:15, okay.
It's about 8 minutes, so I've got to...
Well, they told me you're going to be the bigger portion of an hour.
No, it's about 8 minutes, I'm told. Well, we'll see how long it goes.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
I think the main point that I would try to make, and I think is good for the American people, I've heard it through the years, is that whoever's president has the best information that's available, and it doesn't come from rumor or gossip. It comes from 120 listening post diplomats. It comes from the finest men West Point can turn out. And it comes from the Congress, too. And you have observed that this president gives a great respect to all three.
Right.
And that it's pretty hard for a fellow sitting up in the law office in New York to have the full picture.
Right. I'll do my best, man.